Welcome to Resonance FM. That was Hedvix and Secret Wars of the CIA. And hopefully on the phone, live from somewhere near Bristol, we have David Shaler.
Hi there. Hi, Marion.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm down here outside Bristol at this new festival, in fact, called the Truth Fest, would you believe? It's kind of been organised by people who have been working on the 9/11 issue, but want to expand the whole idea of truth, essentially. What we see 9/11 as is the kind of almost like the gateway drug to the truth. And once people have seen a bit of 9/11, we hope they'll then want to learn about other things. So we've got people here over this weekend talking about a whole variety of alternative knowledge to do with health, to do with the kind of medicines we take, to do with the kind of lifestyle we have, to do with how elections are fixed, to do with social engineering. So there's a whole variety of stuff, and like, you know, many festivals, there's going to be obviously a mixture of music and so on, but there's going to be a lot of emphasis here on education, but making that interesting. In terms of that, we've got two cinemas here, they're going to be showing films that will be addressing various truth issues. And as I say, a lot of talks, which I'm going to be doing a talk on 9/11 myself, and also going to do a bit of stuff about spiritual politics. And really that's kind of trying to look at how we do change the world. I mean, I think most people with half a brain can see that we cannot carry on running the world in the way that we do. And what we've got to do, of course, is learn from the mistakes of the traditional left in Britain, both the mainstream and alternative left, who over the last 25 years have engaged with the right but lost just about every battle. And I really should know because I've been involved in some of them. So what we're trying to look at is a way of approaching this whole issue, accepting that they've got the system sewn up. They either own the politicians or they own the media. But that presents a challenge to us because we've got very good information, but how do we get that out there? And the lesson of spiritual politics, of course, is to not go down the road of divisiveness, the road of anger, the road of fear. And all the lights have just gone out, would you believe? That's quite remarkable. So we're now sitting in a darkened field in Bristol. And there are no lights apart from some sort of candles over there and the lanterns, basically.
Is that making you feel more spiritual?
It's quite nice, actually, in the dark like this. Certainly, yes, it's very pleasant. When you see sort of like candlelight or whatever, that is a very different effect from seeing electric light as well, basically. And, of course, what we're going to have to do at some point, of course, is get a fire lit as well, because it's nothing like having a fire at these things, basically. And I've had a quite an interesting week myself, actually. I've found out that the Green Party now apparently don't want to talk to me on the basis of some rumours they've heard of somebody. And really, I kind of say to these people is that, you know, you didn't back me trying to get my evidence out, you know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever. And as a result of that, we've seen the illegal invasion of Afghanistan, the illegal invasion of Iraq and so on. Now, you got it wrong that time. At least have the guts to admit that, basically, and try and help me get my evidence heard now so we can stop future wars, basically. Because I can accept people can make a mistake. What I can't accept is people can knowingly carry on doing that over and over again. So my message to the Green Party is, please help me get my evidence in front of the government, in front of Parliament, and realise that my evidence can be a way of changing the world, of changing the relationship between government and the intelligence services and the oil industry, who are obviously the main opponents of the Green Party.
So what do they want?
The main people who always suffer in these circumstances aren't the people in the Green Party and so on. You know, many of whom will probably be quite well off. The people who really suffer, of course, will be the people in the Middle East who have to face these bombing raids day in, day out and so on. So a very clear message to the Green Party. Really, we should all be working together in these circumstances. Democracy is under enormous threat at the moment, and it's no time for division. Now, if there are people in your movement saying you shouldn't be talking to me, shouldn't you really be suspecting those people? I mean, the intelligence services can see the threat I pose to their power. You know, why can't people on the left? It's quite extraordinary, it really is.
I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly. So, anyway, what else is going to be happening at the 9/11 Truth Festival?
Tomorrow it's going to be the big day, really. We're expecting about 500 people, although it's only been done a short notice this. We only got the idea to do this during the summer when we started doing going to festivals with our kind of 9/11 tent and showing films and so on. And obviously we noticed that a lot of people got very interested in the stuff we were showing. Obviously we were showing some of the things we've made ourselves, like Mind the Gap. We've been working again this week on Short Change. I keep saying it's going to cut out, but 11, we're in a position where we have keep changing it so we keep it up to date. Although that said, we're hopefully now going to get it out within the next couple of months. I've had to kind of rewrite the script, so it's a lot sharper now. And it's, it doesn't look anything like Loose Change now. In fact, there's no bits from Loose Change in it at all, I don't think. Mm-hmm. What it's crucially brought in is the new information from the National Institute of Science and Technology, who, of course, are actually claiming now to have refuted the official story put forward by FEMA of the collapse of the Twin Towers being caused by what's known as the pancake effect, the columns getting weakened and then bowing out and the floors falling on top of each other. Now, the NIST, another official body in the US, has now said this is nonsense. So they've come into the line of thinking of the 9/11 movement. We've been saying this for the last couple of years. They've also agreed to take a look at controlled demolition for Building 7, which I think is fascinating, because, again, we've been saying this is controlled demolition. They're trying to oppose the idea of controlled demolition, but as they've admitted in this paper, they haven't looked at all the evidence. And they've actually had the cheek to say that they didn't want to examine the steel in the rubble because they didn't think this would have anything to do with the collapse of the buildings, because it said nothing about the state of the steel before collapse. And you think, well, hang on, every other air crash investigation or terrorist investigation, of course you start forensicating material left behind to get the nature of what caused the explosion and so on. This is unique that this hasn't happened and is a real problem for them.
Well, instead of that, they shipped it to China, didn't they? They took all the steel and all the metal and shipped it to China.
Well, this is it. They shipped all China and melted it down, so it can't actually be forensicated now. But they did actually forensicate a tiny percentage, less than 1% of it, and that showed traces of sulfur, which has led some people to speculate that, that thermate was used to bring down the buildings, and that would leave traces of sulfur on there. So it's not looking good for them, and I've been spending the week as well trying to get people, and this is why I'm talking about the left as well, was the New Statesman magazine, who stitched me up a couple of weeks ago. I've written a very long letter to them asking for a right of reply and accusing them of behaving like the Tory press, basically, and like the tabloid press, you know, selective research, and, you know, just trying to, you know, using a quote from somebody but not giving the context to it or not putting forward their arguments so that you make them look like an idiot. I said, well, you know, anybody can do that. We expect the Tory press to do that, the tabloid press. What we don't expect is that from the left-wing press.
Too right. I mean, this is the thing, is you have to ask yourself what's going on with the New Statesman when it takes the kind of point of view.
It's got its tongue so far up New Labour's arse, it's not funny, basically, you know. So this is the problem, and... you know, I mean, and this is the problem we're up against all the time, is that if this had been a Tory government, we'd all understand the rules. And, of course, you know, the Labour Party would probably be hammering away asking questions about 9/11 and 7/7. But because they're in power, they've become even more right-wing than the Tory Party. And that's therefore meant that we don't have any effective opposition in the country. We have a choice of two right-wing extremist parties, essentially, because neither of those parties appear to believe in the true principles of democracy. If they did, of course, we wouldn't be governing the way that we are.
That's right. David, what do you think, the families of the 9/11 victims, how do you think they're, you know, I mean, I know that some of them are campaigning themselves for truth about what happened, but, you know, imagine the scenario when the things we're talking about in terms of the evidence available, the impact of that when it really sort of begins to take shape for them, the families, you know, that they've got to take on board that their own government may have played a part in the murder of
I hope they do. I mean, I really do. I mean, we did get some people looking at it in a very sort of curious way when we were campaigning outside the embassy on the 5th anniversary. We got asked this by the media, and we said, look, you know, we are here to pay our respects to the dead. We're here to pay our respects to those who died in 9/11, those who died in the various wars on terror and so on. But crucially, what we're here for is to make sure these people get justice. And, you know, I don't see how the families can say that they're getting justice for the people who died in that attack if they're accepting an official story that doesn't stand up to scrutiny. I mean, I understand it's obviously a difficult Rubicon to cross to think that your own government effectively murdered 3,000 people in downtown Manhattan in broad daylight, but that is in fact what happened. And although, you know, people have trouble accepting that, that's what the evidence says, and they've got to be big and face up to that truth. But of course, once they have faced up to that truth, the there's no going back, really. I mean, I don't know anybody in the 9/11 truth movement who's come on board and then suddenly changed their mind and said, no, I'm sorry, the official story is right. Nobody's done that, and that's because the evidence is so compelling. And one of the funny things we're seeing from the left now is getting into these debates with people who say, well, yes, I have read the evidence, and I don't agree with it. I think the official story stands. And you look at them, you ask them three or four questions, like, why did Building 7 collapse? And then they say things like, what? And they didn't even realise Building 7 had collapsed. You say, well, I'm sorry, you haven't done your research. You don't know the full picture.
Well, this is really, really a large part of the problem that we have, isn't it? I think we should go and talk a little bit more about that later. But I want to kind of stay with the point that it's possible that, you know, that these people were murdered, because it wouldn't be the first time that that kind of covert operation had taken place. In fact, there is the director of FBI for Los Angeles, well, actually for the whole of California, did say himself that he was aware that the first World Trade Center bombing was actually a setup by their own people, and he has said that live on air.
Yeah, and we know that's a matter of public record that the FBI supplied the explosives in that attack. They could have supplied duds, and they didn't. And the more you look at this, the more you realise that, in fact, false flag operations are simply a way of doing policy and so on.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen.
What I'm doing here at the festival, I think I'll try and wind it out a bit and get a few interviews with people who've been involved in organising the festival and so on.
Yeah.
Who is going to talk a little bit about his involvement in organising this and what's been going on and everything else. So I'll hand you over to Colin.
Okay,
yeah?
Thank you very much.
Hello, how's it going?
Hello, Colin, how are you doing?
Very well, actually, yeah. It's
jolly
all
good.
Swimmingly, yeah. We've got some great bands lined up tonight and stuff like that.
So, oh, so
yeah.
Who's playing tonight?
Well, actually got the Snakes playing tonight, which mm-hmm. is sort of a Bristol band, but they're ready to sort of rock off quite shortly. So.
And are they a rock kind of a band, or...?
Yeah, tonight's sort of like rock music, and then we've got like more funk and dance music tomorrow night, mm-hmm. finishing off with a bit of Latin jazz Sunday night.
Okay. Listen, Colin, I want to come back to you after we've played a track, but I want to ask you slightly what I was talking to David about, which is I was saying to him about how the victims of 9/11, how their families will feel if they find out that the government were actually responsible for the deaths of their families. I know there is a truth movement between the families as well. There is a campaign there for a proper inquiry. But I'm just trying to get to like the idea of the impact that will have on those families.
Yeah, sure. I think in a way, a lot of the 9/11 movement has actually come out of those families. That's the first thing to remember. You know, a lot of those families are very upset with like how the American administration dealt with, you know, things like the commission report and things like that. The gaping holes in the commission report, which, you know, actually is quite insulting if you think about it. Mm. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think. Yeah, it's there are. I think a lot of the families there who should be should be rightly angry at the American administration, and I think a full inquiry is not out of the question. There's nothing, no strange or bizarre about that. We have many sort of independent inquiries over many disasters, and this is one of the largest that has ever hit humanity, and yet no independent inquiry in it.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm going to play a track, and I hope you will stay and talk to me off the back of this track. Yeah.
Yeah, Brent, yeah,
this is a track about American government assassination programs. It's called Assassin.
Global government assassination programs and its connection with the New World Order.
Hey, would that be an assassination weapon? Population control programs. Please don't open this can of worms. When you talk about government assassination programs, it has reminiscence of JFK assassination, since it was by the government, the federal government. it's okay to go ahead and assassinate everybody else?
Did the U.S. government train the South American hit squads?
Of course we do. I've killed 400 communists. That's what the records show. So you can't say that I'm a commie or I'm a pacifist. Going on, they would see that they're using extreme prejudice, that's the vernacular for assassination, all over the world. Would that be an assassination weapon? Assassination comes in many forms. Talk about assassination, it's a relative term. If you look, for example, at Guatemala, 150,000 civilians have been killed. If you look at El Salvador, there's probably 60,000 people. We call this assassination or genocide. Murder Incorporated, how do you do it? Normally a diversion would be created. One was created at the Kennedy assassination. A man in fatigues had an epileptic fit just as the president was about to approach the motorcade. Murder Incorporated, how do you do it? An assassin can literally knock your head off as if it were a pumpkin. Even shooting .22 rounds, you can knock a wall down, cut a car in two. If you can imagine being up to 2 miles away and still an acceptable target for an assassin, when you add to this the armor-piercing capability, you can penetrate even an armored personnel carrier. A bulletproof vest is like cutting through Swiss cheese. It's nothing. Murder Incorporated, how do you do it? If people were really interested, they looked at what's going on, they would see that they're using extreme prejudice, that's the vernacular for assassination, all over the world.
Terminate with extreme prejudice.
Murder Incorporated, how do you do it?
Okay, that was Assassin by Hedfix, and that is actually an assassin talking on there. He is the person that Rambo was based on, and that is him actually talking about his experiences of assassinating people. How pleasant. Unlike Colin, who's down at the 9/11 Truth Festival.
Hey, how's it going, right?
You're not an assassin at all, are you?
No, quite the opposite, really. I'm trying to expose assassins.
Good on you. Good on you. So tell us about the festival. Everyone wants to... Oh, by the way, because I know there'll be some people that are listening, they're going, well, I want to be there, and I'm somewhere near Bristol. How do I get there?
All right, basically, it's on Radford Mill Farm. Mm-hmm. If you go up the A37 from Bristol, you'll get to a place called Temple Cloud. It's an old Knights Templar sort of haven.
Is it indeed?
Go past Temple Cloud and yeah. Emerge out the other side. Then you'll get to a set of traffic lights. You just turn left down there and then follow the truth signs from that moment on.
Well, Colin, can you make sure you don't make it so secret like the Masons next time so that I know about it?
Well, we all try. We all will endeavour.
You didn't have to have a special handshake to get in, did you?
We have actually got a sort of like secret nipple thing going on, but we're not going to go into that too.
I actually like the idea that you would have a festival, right, where you did have to have the correct handshake to get in.
Yeah, well, actually, you know, this metal could have many layers to it, you know, it could be like, you know, you could come as a punter, or maybe you could come into the inner circle, you never know.
How did you actually acquire the site that you're on?
Well, basically, it's a farm near Bristol, and how did we acquire it? Well, we're just actually running a party on it for you, farmer, so the farmer's actually involved in the running of the festival as well.
We love that farmer.
Yeah, well, he's organising all the organic food for everybody, so that's great.
That farmer is a hero. What's the name of his farm? We should promote him.
No, it's Radford Mill Farm. Yeah, yeah.
So, fantastic.
Yeah, check that out. It's near Timsbury.
And what's his name?
His name's Richard.
Well, I hope everybody writes and thanks that man for promoting the truth.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of the guys also, give a bigger shout out to a lot of the guys here who've been working on the farm, who've been helping out set up the festival as well, because, very, very good to have like a team of people working on something.
I can't even begin to tell you how jealous I am that I didn't really know enough about it to be there myself. But I'm going to restrain myself and hope that, because we were trying to organise something else for the 5th of November. So, Colin, if you feel like organising something, because we were hoping we might have something like a Burning Bush Festival for the 5th of November.
Yeah, no, there was someone who was sort of talking about doing something like that. It was sort of like an equivalent of a burning man, but not a burning man.
That's kind of a concept I came up with, but obviously, you know, it would need wonderful people to do it. So if you're interested in joining in...
Well, I'm sure we'll have to have a little chat about that and see what we can come to.
Okay. Anyway, tell us about the bands and about what's happening and about what's happening on each day.
Well, obviously, we've got the bands in the evening. I think I went through that earlier on in the interview. Mm-hmm. But the actual festival is based around a spiral of knowledge, we call it, yeah? Mm-hmm. So the idea is that basically there'll be different subjects, and you can move from, like, a talk, which is the first step, as it were. And if you're into the talks, then you can go down to the cinema area, check out some of the films that are going on there, some of the information stores and everything like that. Mm-hmm. If you're still into it after that, what you can do is you can move on up into the debating forums and enter into a debating forum. At the moment, what's happening is that Moeen from an organisation called Global Vision 2000 are going to be hosting the post-festival forum digitally on the web. So even if you do miss the festival, you'll still be able to join in the debate afterwards.
And where do they go on the web to do that?
That's going to be on gv2000.com. So that's Global Vision's website there.
Fantastic. And also, don't forget to visit 911. That's the words 911. .co.uk.
Absolutely. For more updates and the great forum there as well.
Mm-hmm. So tonight then, what are you looking forward to the most, do you think?
As I'm sort of like running around back behind the scenes and everything like that, probably the cup of cocoa at the end of the night.
So are you telling me you don't actually get to I don't want to say that you won't enjoy it, because I know you will, but no. you won't be able to participate so much?
Well, tonight, there's just the bands on tonight, so there's no actual talking and debating.
Yeah.
I am hopefully going to run a workshop on how to manufacture your own monatomic elements out of sea salt on Sunday.
People listening, especially the police, will think that means you're going to blow something up.
Yeah, no, it's actually nothing of the sort, really. It's it's more of a health sort of... health reasons,
I think you'd better explain yourself, otherwise I say I heard these people on the radio.
I'm going to look up white powder gold on the internet, everybody. That's why.
Because there'll be, you know, because this goes out on FM across London, they'll all be tuning up the dial and they'll sort of hear it as they tune in. They'll go, "What was that? What's that? We've overheard someone's secret conversation to cause trouble." So yeah, you better explain yourself.
That's it. Well, what are monatomic elements? Mm-hmm. Well, basically they're these—they're just like they basically help to sort of heal your auratic aura, kind of your aura sort of thing, and sort of by purifying an electromagnetic level, if you like. But this stuff's found everywhere. But it's a new scientific discovery, and so we only know a very, very small amount of this, but what this stuff can do. But it's doing some pretty amazing things in the sort of frontiers of science. I mean, I'm just going to be sort of teaching how to sort of get the stuff so that you can start to have your own monatomic bath salts and just sort of throw them in the bath and sort of feel good about yourself.
Wow, that sounds nice. Do they have a special sort of aroma to them?
No, they're odourless, colourless and everything like that. It's just a white powder. But it does some interesting things. I think, in a way, you probably have to read about that on the internet, you know, because it's quite a deep subject. But we'll be going into a lot of deep subjects here with the Truth Festival.
Would adding an aroma to it actually sort of, reduce its effect, then?
Yeah, I'm sure. It depends, I suppose, where the aroma came from. isn't it?
Well, if it came from the US government, I think it would stink. But I like the idea of what you're talking about. But for me, I'm thinking I want some really nice, like, rose petal aroma or something. I know that might not be manly enough for you.
Well, actually, we're going to try this out, hopefully, in the... we've got, like, a hot tub coming on down here.
Oh, you are joking. Does it hold 500 people?
No, no, it's very small. It only holds four people, but...
it's not like a cattle's trough or something, is it?
No. some people might have that impression of it, but actually, I've been in it. It's very nice, actually. It's very deep.
Yeah, like you people. And now,
we had to have a deep hot tub for a
How did you manage to set that up?
Actually, it's all like, it's run off just the stream, heated up into a tank, and then basically that water then is filled into a big plastic.
Oh, Colin, I'm too jealous now. I so want to. Normally, I don't feel like I'm really missing out, but this is one of those events I really, really feel like I'm missing out on.
Well, and you have to try and come down, if not this time, we do plan to do another one, because I think this is a, there's been a lot of talk about it, and I think a lot of people now are questioning what's going on in the world, and that's really what the Truth Fest is about. It's about questioning the, questioning what's out there, really.
Yeah, absolutely. We still need to remind people, because I'm thinking now that we've really probably sparked the interest of people, not just the ones living near Bristol. So we really need to tell people how to get there.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's more details on it. We have actually a MySpace account, which has all the details on there. So that's www.myspace.com. Mm-hmm. Then you just go /Truth Fest. That'll bring up a little homepage. There you've got all the directions, the list of everyone who's talking, and events and things that are happening, basically, throughout the weekend. There's so much going on, it's a bit difficult to sort of sum it up in one sentence. But all I will say is I'm looking forward to all the interesting speakers that we've got coming down, and I think there's going to be some very interesting debates. I'm looking forward to the free energy water-powered debate happening on Saturday night. And we have an esoteric 2012 debate happening on the Sunday night, which promises to be just as exciting.
Right. Who else have you got speaking as such? They were the subjects, but who have you got speaking?
Well, we've got a number of people from like the 9/11 movement speaking as well. David Shaler here, Annie Mashon. We've got Alexander Niles as well. Tony Goslin will be talking about the secret societies. Will Player will be talking about...
You've got Tony Goslin. Now, there's a name for you conspiracy people on the internet.
Yeah, the Bilderberg.org.
He's fab, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely great. He's actually going to be talking about the history of the Illuminati.
I'm not joking. I'm not saying this just for the purposes of radio. I am so wishing I was there now. I so wish I'd had more time. Obviously, the radio show needed to go out, and I'm glad about the promotion, but I'm so wishing that I was with you.
Well, I'll tell you what, next year we'll do it bigger and better, and then we'll get your radio station down here.
Well, that would be a good idea.
Because actually, we've got a broadband internet connection here at the moment, going via satellite off the site. So we could broadcast it on the net live as well.
That's fantastic. Now, are people going to be, staying in a, could I say, clean mind while they're down there?
Well, we're not really encouraging everyone to get too wrecked, because it is quite a day event.
Is there drink, or is it very smoothies and vegetable juices?
We've got some hemp smoothies. Mm-hmm. Hemp smoothie workshops. There's lots of people doing lots of little things, sort of, obviously. Mainly it's just sort of there's a big sign here that says sangria, so I guess there's some of that going down somewhere. But I think there's obviously it's what people want to do. We're not going to put restraints on people, but at the same time, we don't really want people just coming down and getting too wrecked for their own health, really.
Well, there is that too. Now, so you're saying it's not really a place to come if you're going to get out of your face, or what?
Yeah, I'd say that the crowd is quite cultured down here. You can actually stand a lot of talking. There's a lot of talking going on. I mean, I'm just walking by people, there's conversations happening, little people hooking up, networking. It's great, All types of different movements coming together, all types of different movements exchanging ideas and philosophies, and it's, I think it's really at the root of it, as well as like the good music and having a bit of a party as well.
Fantastic. Now, is there anything else you need to plug?
Not I don't think so anyway. Just to say, I'd just like to thank everybody as well who's been involved in the Truth Fest so far. You know, really come together, really nice. Big shout out to Jake as well on security, who's done an amazing job. Ben, who's actually done an amazing job as well, setting up this 70-foot marquee that I sort of stand in front of. And you know, it's all coming together swimmingly. And I'd just like to say, if anyone else wants to come down, feel free, and we'll be very welcoming to you.
Right, so let's remind them where you are and what the website is.
So we're at Radford Mill, yep. So you go down the A37 out of Bristol, so you get through, you pass through Temple Cloud, then you hang a left at the traffic lights, and then you just follow the Truth signs to Radford Mill. Or you can check out more details on www.myspace.com/truthfest.
That's fantastic. Okay, well, now, Colin, I'm going to let you go, but I'm going to play a little song for those people who are indulging in too many drugs to just remind them that they will be funding the lovely American wars if they do. So how about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And also, good luck there searching for the truth, yeah? May the mission continue and may we all be extremely successful in the next coming year, yeah?
I absolutely agree. All right, then. Speak to you soon.
All right, take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
See you then. Bye.
increase in drug sales, they come from the sale of ammunition and of drugs.
Cleanse the World by Revco, otherwise known as the Revolting Cox. Before that was a little track called Drugs, about funding the secret wars by buying drugs. And somebody who never takes drugs is on the end of the line. That's David Shaler. He only drinks hemp milk and hemp smoothies.
This is supposed to be truth radio, but never mind.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't mean those, like, legal ones, you know. I only meant illegal ones. Those ones what the USA run, you know. Like Afghanistan, where they've promoted the heroin trade.
Absolutely, yes, indeed. This is how they fund their illegal operations. People say, how can they afford to carry out this operation? They do it through the illegal drugs trade, and we all know that.
Slush funds.
Iran-Contras, basically.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to play you a little track about that at the end.
Oh, right, fantastic.
I was going to get back to the whole, you know, threat to Iran and how they managed to have a little hostage situation going on there.
Yeah, no, that was there, yeah. We'll mention that at the end, yeah. But I want to put a guy on here I met a few times, a guy called Dale, who's from Norwich 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And since he's started organising some stuff in Norwich, which he's going to talk about as well, he's organising some meetings there, but he's going to talk a little bit about some weird events that happened to him as a result of getting involved in 9/11. So I'll hand you over to Gail.
Gail, well, that's fantastic.
Hello.
Hello, Gail. So,
yeah, hi.
What's been happening to you?
Well, we've started this awareness group in Norwich, and we've had quite a good response. We've had lots of people turn up to our meetings, and since then, we've had the weird things on the phone. We've had, calls that come in late at night, and then there's nobody there. And the most bizarre of all, as David just implied, was a couple of days ago, I was ringing up for just a standard call for my insurance company to ring me my to get a copy of my insurance documents to come through. And are you still there?
Yeah. I'm still here. I'm all ears.
Okay. Yeah. No, this is absolutely genuine. I was ringing up my insurance company, and they kept me waiting so long that I was getting tired of waiting and all the rest of it. And after about half an hour of messing about, I finally got an answer, and it's just like an American voice came on, as opposed to an Indian voice from this call centre before. It's a very strong American voice, and I thought, oh my God, who the hell have I got now? And I just retorted, I said, look, I really must have my insurance policy sent today without messing about. And I lost it a bit. I was a bit angry. And this voice came back and said, this is not your insurance company, sir. This is the Pentagon. And it sounded so realistic. I was really taken aback. And I thought, this all fits with everything we're doing with this starting this new group and everything, you know.
And just to clear up, since we just played a song about drugs, you weren't on anything druggy at the time.
Then what?
I said, I just played a song about drugs. I said, just to clear this up, you weren't on any drugs at the time.
Good God, no. No, absolutely not, no.
Because people will think that you imagined this. But, of course, this is the problem we've got today, is that we're told that the whole thing we're fighting for is freedom and free speech and everything else. And all our phones are bugged, you know, and they quite merrily go around, you know, sort of invading your privacy, telling us that we're doing this for freedom.
That's right. I mean, clearly somebody was listening. We've had problems for the past few weeks since we've been involved in this stuff. And we didn't think too much about it until that one time. And, that was just incredible. The only time I've ever, you know, got angry and said anything, and I had that response. I think, you know, somebody made a mistake and they let their secrets out, you know.
Seems to be. Or the other possibility is they wanted you to know, which is, you know, the kind of typical thing is that they make sure they make some sort of noise on your phone. And the purpose of that, people say, well, they don't need to make a noise because, you know, they use software and so on. No, they don't need to, but the idea is to let you know. And whether it bothers you is really up to you. Some people get really worried about it. Other people just go, yeah, well, it's par for the course. That's what they're doing, you know.
Yeah, people have told me this. They've let me know. Well, that's fine. I'm all for honesty. You know, I'm at a truth festival now, so great. You know, if they want to let me know, that's great in that sense. But I still don't understand why they should want to listen in on our conversation.
Well, can I just say, Gail, that they clearly don't have enough terrorists to chase, because if they had enough terrorists to chase, they wouldn't be concentrating on peace people and people who are after the truth, would they?
No, I guess not, no.
But this has always been the problem. They've always spied on peace movements. They've always spied on people who are actually pro-democracy. You know, as Mr. Shaler himself exposed, they spied on, you know, people like Ronnie Scott. You know, people know Ronnie Scott for his jazz, but they had a file on Ronnie Scott. Why did they have a file on Ronnie Scott? Because he held a festival for democratic youth. That's about democracy and democratic youth. So are they saying they're opposed to democracy?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Well, you know, it did set us back a bit. We were a bit concerned, you know, possibly a bit frightened, but then we thought, well, to hell with this, you know, this just makes me now want to go more and more with this. We've just, this week, started a new awareness group for the 9/11 people in Norwich. We started a brand new group, and after this, we're just determined to go more and more and more, you know. We're going to go.
You're breaking up a bit, so I'm going to play another track and come back to you shortly, yeah?
All right, my darling, yeah, okay.
Thank you for speaking to us.
Yes, yeah, thank you. We'll be right back.
proving that this is live radio for all the mistakes we make, for all the difficult telephone calls and the other technical difficulties that you're aware of. Hopefully we're back with Gail. We're back.
I just bumped into somebody here, a guy called Jeff Stray, who's written a book called Beyond 2012, and I heard his lecture at the BGG about this. It's absolutely fascinating. And I also want to get him on the programme to do a proper in-depth interview. But I did thought we'd have him on for a few minutes, just talking about what he'll be talking about here at the Trade Festival.
Fantastic.
I'll pass you over to Marion then, Jeff, yeah?
Lovely.
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
Yeah.
Jolly. What's happening down there?
What happened?
What's happening with you down there in the festival?
Well, I just turned the music on. It's probably here. It's all rather wet down here.
Is it? Has it been raining?
Oh, it's been raining all day, yeah. It's not raining now, but I'm one of the lucky ones with a live-in vehicle.
I'm going to tell you a bad joke.
Yeah.
Maybe you need an umbrella group. I've got the worst jokes ever, and I'll make them up on the spot. So anyway, tell us, you're going to be talking, are you?
Yes, I'm talking on Sunday night. The idea is to sort of try and put a, so I was told, try and put a positive slant on things after, the dark conspiracy theories. But yes, it's about the year 2012, which most people know as the end of the Maya calendar, which is a calendar, the long count calendar started... The zero point was 5,125 years ago. It terminates on winter solstice 2012. And a lot of people have been speculating as to what it all means. But I actually found out a bit about that a long time before most people knew about it from a completely different source, which was some guys that decoded the ancient Chinese oracle, the I Ching, and sort of turned all the information in it into a time wave and mapped it onto history, and then came up with the end of time at 2012, and that was before they knew anything about the Maya calendar.
Well, how fantastic is that? I have to say that I have been to Chichen Itza in Mexico, so I know a little bit about the Mayan calendar and about the 2012, because I did visit that pyramid that I don't know if you've ever been there.
One of the places I didn't go with. I spent about 5 weeks in Mexico and Guatemala. I didn't get around to the Yucatan.
Well, I really hope for you that you go back there, because this place, you probably know, lived undersea for a very long time and was lost undersea, and people didn't know it was there. And then, you know, as the sea subsided, there it was. This,
what, you know, Tulum, is that?
Sorry?
Is that a place called Tulum?
It's called, it's Chichen Itza. In Mexico.
Oh, that was under the sea. I didn't know.
It was under
that.
The sea for a long time, and then, you know, there it was. Suddenly they discovered this big amphitheatre and everything, and it's fantastic. And, of course, you know, that's all tied in with the Mayan, you know, it's the whole...
Oh, yes, I've heard about the pyramid there. It's very famous for a shadow play every spring equinox.
Yeah.
Where it seems like there's a massive snake wriggling down the pyramid.
That's it. And also... they'd set up this amphitheatre. It isn't just that it has a great, like, echo or something else. It is that they actually had figured out a way of sending... The idea of broadcasting, yeah? They'd actually figured out how to send the sound across, yeah?
Oh,
that long ago. That's what's so amazing. And the guides there, they actually, like, show you how you can send the sound across...
Is it like advanced acoustics?
Yeah, really advanced. Not just, you know, not just typical of what you get in an amphitheatre. It really is amazing.
I've seen it at Teotihuacan, further up north of Mexico, where the whole place is designed so that if you clap your hands, it sounds like chirping quetzal birds.
Yeah, but I do hope that you manage to get there. Occasionally they have cheap flights. I know quite a lot of the time the flights are expensive, but, you know, if you can get over there, it's a brilliant place. And also,
I definitely want to go back because...
they're going to fence it off, so get there quick.
Just this April, a new fact came out. This is one of the things I'll be talking about in my talk. There's something called the Tortuguero prophecy.
Yeah.
A little unknown site called Tortuguero that Mayanists have known about this for years, and it's only this April that it actually came out into the mainstream. That there is a an inscription there that specifically in the calendar called. Three calendars cross reference each other, specifically mentioned the end point in 2012, and that's accompanied by a prophecy of the nine support gods that will return.
Right. When are you actually speaking so that people can make sure they see you?
I think the main thing is about 8 o'clock on Sunday night. But there's a couple of lead up events nearby. So there's a sort of discussion first, and then there's myself and Mark Healy doing a little introductory things, and then I'll do my main talk after that.
Okay. So just for the people that have just tuned in, remind people who you are. Just say when you're on, and then we'll make sure that they know which website to go and look at the info.
Yes, it's Jeff Stray, and I'm talking about the year 2012, the end of the Maya calendar, and I'm on Sunday night, and my website is diagnosis2012.co.uk, and there's an events page there which links you up to some information on this event.
That's fantastic. Okay, we're running out of time, so if you can put Dave back on before we close the show.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate you talking to us.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Hello there.
Hello, Dave. We're running out of time now, and also I did want to get back to the little Iran moment as well, and I know you've got other things to say before we close.
Well, before we go, yeah, well, basically, I mean, I've just, well, I don't know, well, so I want to say thank you for doing the show today. It's been fantastic.
It's a pleasure every week, and you know it. I wouldn't miss it.
And what I want to say is that this show is actually available as a podcast as well. And there will also be a podcast of my novel, The Organisation, which is going to be going out as a serial in one-hourly episodes as an audio book, basically.
I understand you're launching your website soon, too, so people need to stand by.
Launching the website, because basically, you know, I've done on this case, I've worked very hard on things, and, you know, I think it's time now that I put myself really at the centre of things and said, here I am, it's not an issue of ego, it's just an issue of trying to use to change things. And my name, fortunately, does attract attention, attracts controversy as well, but as I say to anybody, I can talk to them for 5 minutes and convince them what I've done is right and convince them at least to reconsider their views about 9/11.
Simply. That's right. And if people don't believe in conspiracies, just to close, we can talk very quickly about the whole Iran-Contra thing. We won't get into the whole story, but if people just type in Iran-Contra, I'm sure they'll find out, Oliver North. But
exactly.
If people don't believe this happened, then they should look at how the Americans were trading arms for hostages. I'll give you a minute on that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an expert on this, but basically what was going on, I think it was to do with arms, hostages and drugs and the CIA and running guns to the Nicaraguan Contras.
That's right. Well, what actually happened was the US government had an embargo to sell arms to Iran, yeah? But there were some hostages, some American hostages taken in Iran, and Jimmy Carter had basically... He had a situation where he was going to free the hostages, but instead of that, Bush the first and Reagan arranged for the hostages to be kept in captivity. This is all proven to be kept in captivity and gave arms to Iran to keep the American hostages instead of release them. And they were released the day that Ronald Reagan was inaugurated and Carter got kicked out. We love you, David Shaler. We thank you for everything you've done for the world. And we will just keep on speaking about truth and freedom, and we'll be back in this space next week, won't we?
Yeah, we'll be more truth next week, basically. Let's keep going on Truth Radio. Remember, conquer fear and embrace the love.
Lovely. Okay, see you next week, Dave. Have a great time.
Cheers, man.
Bye.